We're back to talk about Dark Souls for the first time, for the last time, for the first time.
Hello there.
This is like we've done this. I'm going to take a different stance with this, and that like the recording's done. We're just talking now, so I'm
going
to be a lot lazier. And
I like that.
Turn my chair around, put my hat on backwards. What's up, guys? Let's be real.
Yeah. You know, it should always be, I don't know. We have different stances on how, like, how professional and on point we need to be with all of us.
I guess if you don't mind, I'll lead for now for the Dark Souls thing. I just want to ask you, I want to throw the question to you. What was your favorite boss fight?
Have you seen that thread on Dragon Ball?
No.
The thread on Dragon Ball? There's a great thread on Dragon Ball, which is literally that question. What's your favorite boss fight? And I love seeing... Well, obviously, there's a lot of people who say the Nameless King. The Nameless King.
The Nameless King is so anime. It's great.
I know. There's a lot of people who say the Nameless King. But honestly, like, I like the people who didn't. And a lot of them have really good answers. My favorite is a toss-up between two, and that's Pontiff Sullivan or... Champion Gundyr is on my two.
Okay.
So for people who don't remember them by name, Pontiff Sullivan is the dude you walk into a cathedral in Irithyll of the Boreal Valley. You walk into a cathedral, he's the boss of that area.
He's got two different fire and ice sword or something, right?
Yeah, so he's the one who gave the dancer her swords. Then her swords are based off his. He's got a fire sword. No, he's got a magic sword and a fire sword. And so at the start of the fight, he just has one sword. Then we get him down a little bit. He takes out a second sword. And then we get him down halfway. He summons a shadow of himself that attacks alongside him and like, kind of like phases into him. I loved that fight. The second one was Champion Gundyr. Because he's the one you go to like the dark Firelink Shrine. It's just before there. He's the equivalent of Eudix Gundyr. He's the Gundyr. He's the Eudix Gundyr is the first literal boss, the tutorial boss of the game, who turns into like this monster. He's got that weird virus in him. It's him in a different timeline.
Which I always thought that was the Saint of the Deep or whatever. Like, I always thought that was, like, his influence, like, creeping out to other things. And then when you get to the same, like, when you get to that boss, it's just a bunch of clerics. I'm like, wait, what? I thought I was going to be fighting a giant ooze. This is weird.
Yeah. What the fuck? So like, that whole area is just black. And there's a different universe where... Eudix Gundyr didn't get to the Firelink time in time.
I never thought it was a different universe. It's just with all of the Dark Souls, it's always very cyclical in nature.
Yeah,
and it's just
it's
like between 2 and 3, he arrived and he arrived too late, and then was stuck as an undead or something. And
So not a
different universe, just an earlier time.
Right, an earlier time. Yeah, different. Well, I was going to say different timeline, but you're right. Like, when I say different timeline, I mean a previous cycle in this cycle.
Yes.
So he's like at the peak of his power and he's not infected, but I don't even like him I like the lore. I don't even like him for lore reasons. I like it because it's a straight up fucking brawl ass fist fight. No fucking holes barred. No fucking weird, stupid, crazy shit, like crazy fucking spirit shit.
You liked him because he had that backwards kick. That was, I could respect that move.
Fucking
that was a good... That was like, oh, with every boss, I'll just try getting behind him. And he's like, no, I know that trick.
You got a fucking roundhouse kick you in the fucking face. Like, it's fantastic because it's like, there's no, like, he doesn't have any one-hit kills. It's just, like, straight up, He comes at you. You go at him. The best man wins. Let's do this shit. And I really love that. I actually might like that more than Pontiff Sullivan, but for entirely different reasons. What are yours?
Mine, it's pretty clear in that. So with the giant boss, I can't remember what his name is. Yorm the Giant. That was one that, like, so I just happened to have Onion Knight with me. And so I didn't make the connection of just like, oh, I need to pick up that sword. I was just like, man, this fight's going great. Onion Knight's doing great. And then like he died and like, what's going on? Why is I can't figure and like, why am I doing 30 health to him now? 30 damage. And so I summoned some people and like, that's when I made the connection. Oh, they all have this sword that I've picked up. Oh, okay.
Right.
But then when I got to Ancient Wyvern, the Ancient Dragon, the first boss of the Dragon Area, like everyone loves Nameless King, really like that because I did a couple of hits
and, really good.
And knew instantly, like, no, this isn't right. I got to do something.
This is not how we kill this guy.
So question for you.
Uh-huh.
Did you hit that bell?
Which bell?
When you first get in.
Nameless King?
Well, no, for the Ancient Wyvern, like, right behind
him. Oh, absolutely.
Him,
there's a bell at the end.
Him, there's a,
and
there's
I'm like,
a bell.
Oh, obviously, I ran up to it and just started smacking it, and nothing happens. And I'm like, what?
I was like, wait, nothing. What's going on? This is the thing I gotta do, right? Screw it, I'm gonna keep running.
That was totally it. I was like, I'm just gonna peace the fuck out. I just ran. Like, oh, there's an open doorway. I ran to it. I'm like, oh, this is a great fight. You have to, like, climb to the top of this fucking fortress to get to a bench.
I figured, like, along the way I'd find, like, ballistas or something. And I just kept going and kept going. And then I finally saw, like, some notes and be like, piercing attack, like, jumping effective and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this is what's going on.
Exactly.
Like, I was happily surprised. I didn't expect to one-shot against spoilers. Yeah. But that was so good.
So good. And you do like a custom animation. You do like a Skyrim animation where you jump on his back and you keep like fucking hitting
him. Yeah, you like ride him for
that
a little
was
bit.
So, that's my favorite puzzle boss of the entire series. Like, if I think of every single puzzle boss, like picking, like even Yorm or the ancient tree for Dark Souls 1, which I hated. That dragon fight was my favorite. Because like those enemies were like the right kind of hard, at least for me, because I hadn't finished the brothers or by then. I actually did that area as my third last area of the game, so like that whole thing was like those enemies are tough, but they gave me really good drops, and at the same time like you're going around there, like there's really good placements of like those big guys, but like behind like a nook that you wouldn't see, so you're like, you find one dude and a big guy comes out and fucks you up, and
then you can use the dragon as like to effect, and they're like, oh, you just keep hiding back. Come on, guys, and then you hide in a corner, and they're out in the center of the room, and then suddenly this big gust of flame just like kills them. Like, excellent.
That was really good.
I guess a good second for me is it's again like a puzzle boss, and this was one that just like I was getting to the point of like I'm just gonna start like cheesing through. I want to get through this game. Because like I would try every boss more or less for the first time, and it'd be thinking like, oh, we've talked about it before with a portal, I think, in that like it's not necessarily once you figure out the puzzle, then you have to actually execute on it, and it's like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do to beat this boss. Mm-hmm. Now is the time that I can summon people.
Nice. Okay, that's
and
good.
I can just cheese through this. so High Lord Wolner was the other one that was just like, that was just a really fun fight. I don't know, just something about that. And that, like, that whole area, I really liked, even moving on beyond bosses. I know we're starting off with bosses, but High Lord Wolner was like the dark, like, pitch black area, this giant, like, skeleton face and hands, and you had to, like, hit the bracelets, and he's crawling up, and it was just, like, not only the boss, but then just like the complemented with the level design that was just really good.
Like
the shortcuts.
I really
like
that boss too.
Yeah.
Did you get to the point where he instant kills you no matter what?
That did happen in one of my attempts, yes.
That's why I didn't like it. Because I love that boss fight. until the moment I realized that if I get into this position and he's at this point in this entirely black map, he will do this move that will instant kill me no matter what. When I realized that all I had to do was make sure I never got into that one spot, because it would be behind his arm. So his rib cage, like, because essentially he keeps moving backwards and then he crawls forwards. And, like, you can't really tell where he's going to crawl forwards because it's literally blackness. And you get hit by his rib cage as he's crawling forward, it does all your health and damage no matter what. So you can even avoid that just by being in front of him instead of next to him. Like, aside from that, if it wasn't for that one move, I would have had a very different feeling about that fight, because it just felt unfair, because, like, you don't really get a chance to, like, But no, I thought it was cool, because they could go in, it's like fucking blackness, and always
it was
creative white
as hell, though. It was great, yeah.
Yeah. I was worried that you couldn't stop him from summoning skeletons.
But I was okay because he would just kill the skeletons. That is my favorite thing about bosses. And, like, jumping back to the reason why I didn't like, or I found the latest Hyperlight Drifter boss difficult than the other ones, is because the other ones would also summon adds, but they were susceptible to the same damages that I was susceptible to. Like, I really love that in a boss. Like, that's why I really dig the Gravelord, whatever his name is, in Dark Souls 1. Because his AoE attacks kill the other skeletons as well. And, like, granted, they rise up again, but, like, yeah. So now we got bosses out of the way. Let's talk about zones.
We move on to bosses, I only described the Pontiff Sullivan. I didn't actually say why I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
So Pontiff Sullivan I find great. A, because the cathedral is beautiful, and I love, like, the setup of, like, you walk into the door, he's there on the other side of the room. He knows you want to fight him. He just turns around, looks at you, and you just walk toward each other and you fucking fight. I like that. It's no bullshit. We both know what we're doing here. Let's get on. I love it. But more importantly, when he summons that second, there's serious problems with balance in this game. And, so I'm, as a power gamer by heart, I play with short weapons, swords and, brigand axe. Those are the best weapons in this game. Dark sword, sunlight sword, long sword, brigand axe. So I was using a brigand axe at the time, and so it's a really short range in that weapon, like massive DPS, but really short range. So I couldn't kill or get close enough, because when he summons his second form, like the shadow of himself, I never really put together that I could run up to him and try to DPS that shadow self down fast. Because every time I'd be there, I'd be so close to him that when he summons, he pushes me away and I get knocked down and I have to get up and I usually have to chug an Estus and then run back at him. I didn't fight him enough times to just, like, realize he'd be at a half health and then get away from him before he summons and get back into him DPS. Like, I didn't do that stuff. So what happened was I could never kill that second form in a really efficient manner, which means I usually had to play the whole second half of that fight with both of them active. What that meant was, he'd be doing twice the DPS. Like, when he gets in the second form, because he's got a shadow of himself active, every move they do, they both do. So if you're blocking, you suddenly run out of all of your stamina, because you block the first hit, then you block his hit, then you block the second hit of the shadow, then you block his second hit, and suddenly you have no stamina. So, like, that moment, though, that I realized that the shadow form precedes him by just enough time to dodge, like, their level of, like, design was just, like, mind-blowing. Because then it became a fight of, I fight him normally for the first half, because that's easy. But the second half was, like, dodge, wait, dodge, wait, dodge, wait, 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 dodge, dodge, hit, 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 dodge, wait, dodge, wait. And it was, like, you'd be looking for the animations and timing everything perfectly. Like, first off, the shadow. And then you'd be in your head, you have a mental timer, okay, now I dodge. And you dodge again, and he'd be just swinging, and he misses you, and then you attack. That feeling of timing everything perfectly, because they designed it that way, was just like, that's the best fight in that game. That's the best fight in this game, if you fight it that way. It's fucking amazing. Yeah. So I'll let you go on.
No, and again, just I really think you should try Hyper Light Drifter, especially coming off the wings of Dark Souls. But, and this is, I guess, a slight spoiler towards anybody wanting to listen to Hyper Light, so it's going to be like 30 seconds. But that boss, you mm-hmm. have to listen. You don't look at his attacks. You listen for his attacks.
That's cool.
So you got to love well-designed fights. That's great. I guess briefly before we go to locations, because I want to know what your favorite, like, I want to do like a brief overview of the like locations we liked, locations we didn't, because the level design is another amazing thing about Dark Souls. But I just want to kind of like, so what I've observed with this one, and I'm not sure if this is a case of Dark Souls 2 or not, but they definitely seem to, with the stat layout, benefit casters more. With the way, like,
really?
Investing in attunement gives you increased FP, but then also, like, I feel like that was also, there's something, yeah, it gives you more slots as well as more magic pool.
Those are two things.
And, like, that seemed to be, like, they were complementing that, whereas they added the equipment load and stamina as two different bars.
They so that's them up. Stat-wise, they made it easier to spec caster because you have to invest in fewer stats than you used to have to. However, like, it's interesting to me because in actual, like, mathematically, casters are hot garbage in this game. It's one of the seriously big problems with Dark Souls 3 until you get to roughly soul level 80, where you can have about 30 in each, because pyromancy is pretty much the best.
That was actually the biggest bummer for me was how they handle pyromancy, because it does require some stats. Whereas like what I loved about original pyromancy was just keep dumping souls in there and you're good. No stat requirement, just money.
It's the rich man's fucking magic. Like I like that. It was fun. Like, but in this, it's the equivalent of going quality for physical but for magic. So you have to invest in both stats. But it's the most powerful. That means only when you get to soul level, like enough to get 30 in both, does it do decent damage. For the other two, you have to get 60 points in them to hit their breakpoint. Like, you have to have 60 points in just faith to do decent damage with Sunlight Spear. They've broke magic in that game. It's really disappointing. Go on.
that's what I want to talk about for like stat. Like the I was kind of bummed So, fashion souls. It's like a hashtag joke now almost. And like they did great outfits. I was kind of bummed that they made it so that like it was tough. It was tougher than normal. Like you had to do much more of an investment to do the whole like dress your character up however you want. Like especially coming off of Bloodborne, in which there was no requirement. Like almost the outfits didn't matter except for some edge cases.
Weight, right.
What? Yeah, like
you said, you're talking about
equip load, weight load. And I can understand like the value of having that like equip ratio and fat rolling and stuff like that, but like making it two different stats really bummed me out because I did invest in equip load. I never invested in luck. It's weird that they added that.
Best weapon in the game is the luck weapon. So
yeah.
Henry's straight sword.
Good old Demon Souls.
Straight up Demon Souls weapon. May as well be.
Yeah. I enjoyed my time with it, but yeah, was there anything else about like just stats or general gameplay? Are you okay with your location?
Gameplay is okay. So, gameplay is my problem with this game. So there's two problems with this game, both of which are the topic you're currently talking about: locations and gameplay. So, for you, where would you rate this Dark Souls?
Dark Souls 1 is best. Dark Souls 3 is second. And this is, again, just only from what I've heard. And also, like, we can't fully judge this game yet because a lot of people will prop up Dark Souls 2 because of the great DLC. And we have yet to see the add-on content for this. But yeah, like, it. Probably this is like the second best. I'm still Dark Souls 1 is just
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, that means you're looking at it more positive than you did last time we talked. That's good. I'm in the same spot. I think this is the second best Dark Souls. I think this is way better than Bloodborne for various reasons that I didn't like Bloodborne for. Like, at a minimum,
Bloodborne gets points in my book, if only because they, like, in terms of level design, story, and all that, they did a great job of, like, it's very hard to get, like, old god, eldritch.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they got it right.
So that's what I was going to say. So in terms of world, Bloodborne's number one, and then probably this, I'd actually say. In terms of lore. Bubbles one, and then this. In terms of actual map design, I'd say Dark Souls 1, probably, as my number one. Then probably Bloodborne, then this. I'd say map design. In actual gameplay, this is number one, in my opinion. Then Dark Souls 1, then Bloodborne. But in terms of balance, this is probably the worst of the entire series.
I don't know if it's the worst, but it's the most confusing.
Well, yeah, it
could be the worst, but that's also just because it was so hard to track what I should invest in and what should, like, the right point should be.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one half of balance. But, like, even if you put in the time and effort to understand the systems and get where everything's going, you shouldn't get to the point where you're like, oh, well, that thing's clearly better than everything else. Like, a well-balanced game...
Did you change weapons at all, or did you, like, once you got the axe, you stuck with it?
No. Let's go through those things then. I think this game's awesome. So, why I think this game's awesome? There's so many fucking materials, and there's so many weapons, and there's so many viable builds. It is fantastic. Like, they went the opposite of Bloodborne. One of the biggest problems I had with Bloodborne were like, oh my god, they asked me to farm for healing items again. They asked me to farm for my parrying item, the bullets. You asked me to farm for the thing that lets me parry. Fuck you. Like, and they're way expensive in the shop. Like, here, this is the right way to do it. Arrows are 5 souls. Like, how hard was that? No, so, like, there were, like, way big problems I had with the economy in Bloodborne. That repeated mistakes from Demon Souls, which I think was stupid. I think Dark Souls 2 did a good thing where it was kind of intermediary, and you had these, like, one-off items that would give you some health regen rather than actually instantly healing you. But this is the best of the three, which is, like, you have Estus, and you can make him Estus or Ashen Estus, and you can absolutely determine yourself how you do that. They give you a good amount in the game, so they do a great thing where you have, like, you can get, like, 15 of them, and they get to plus 10, but they dole them out in a good way where sometimes you'll have a lot of Estus, but they do fuck all. And by late game, you have even more Estus. But if you choose to have them, and they do more, but by that point, because you have the ability to use 15 Estus, you're never really using 15 Estus in a run. So then you actually go, unless it's a boss. Unless it's the Nameless King. He's the only one who got me past 10. So 12 Estus is what I used on him. Oh my god. So even though I'm a sword fighting dude, I have all these Estus fast. I'm going to just bring some Ashen Estus and then just start using my skills more. I never used to use my skills because you didn't really feel the need to use them, but now I may as well use them. I love how many crafting materials. At the end of the game, and the fact that you can easily get the items that allow you to just buy crafting materials. At the end of the game, I had 3 +9 weapons and 1 +10 weapon. In early game, I had like 7 +3 weapons just to try out and feel out and just figure out which one I like more. You could never do that in previous Souls games. They'd always try to, like, railroad you. The infusion system's fantastic. Do I want this as a sharp weapon or a refined weapon? Before, you'd have to get multiple of the one type of crafting material to refine it in that way. So in Demon's Souls, you have to get it from a +1 sharp to a +2 sharp. You have to get only sharp Titanite, or whatever it was called. In this one, you use sharp Titanite once, and then from then on, normal Titanite. And you want to switch it to something else, you use the other Titanite. So you use the fucking refined, which is clearly the best, Titanite, and just chuck it on the weapon, and it just works. Like, I love that. So I started with a Brigand Axe that was... I started with the Uchi Katana, then I made it sharp, Then I made it fire. And then I went to a brigand axe. Then I made it, and I left it normal for a while because of its normal scaling. Then I made it refined and left it there. Then I went to a, what's his face, dark sword. I made that sharp for a while. And then I made that refined when I found another refined gem. Then I went to a, and along the way I played out with a battle axe, which was dark, my fire uchi katana a lot just to figure out like if multiple damage types was worth it. The Irithyll straight sword, which is frost. Like, there are so many awesome things you could try out and play out and play with if you're melee. So again, I played melee. I think magic in the game's kind of fucked up, kind of broken. And that's a serious problem. And that's what I'm talking about, the balance problem. So magic's fucked. And then when you get to the end game, you realize, wait, straight swords and just like smaller, faster attacking weapons are just definitively the best weapons for PvE. There is no reason to use it. If you're using a great sword, like, you're kind of playing on a hard mode because like ultra great swords are great because they give you hyper armor. So they're not like the best, but they're at least competitive. But like a great sword, like the Claymore, for example, which used to be the best weapon in one of the best weapons in Dark Souls 1 and probably the best weapon in Dark Souls 2, is just kind of because using more stamina, you're attacking slower, you have barely more arc of fire, you have barely more reach, and in the end, just that second point of attacking slower is almost everything that matters in a boss fight. And against normal enemies, because just how fast I normally enemies are. The second half of it I don't like and don't like, is the level design. So going back to your point.
Well, okay, before we get to jump to level, because we'll hit that later, I mainly used a halberd. When I wasn't using a halberd, it's what I love.
Do you get the Black Knight halberd at the end? Black Knight halberd's nice, man.
I mean, like, it's not necessarily the weapon as much as, like, I like the ones with reach, and I like the attack pattern of the halberd. Yeah. I like the, like, it's the same reason I love the Hunter's Axe, is, like, because...
Oh, high five, Hunter's Axe. We're, like, some of the few people who use the Hunter's Axe. That thing's great.
It's because I can use that thing to attack from any direction. And which is good in PvP,
right? Yeah, so, PvP is where.
Yeah, so I tried getting into, like, I did get successfully into the Darkmoon Covenant, but I found out later that, like, it's pretty much useless because it requires such a narrow, like, it requires what is currently a narrow window of players and events to activate to go invade an invader. It's pretty much useless. From what my standpoint was, but I did end up going the way of the blue, which is the people who summon the blue invaders when you get invaded.
Nice.
And so, like, I did a lot of things of just like putting myself in a position to get invaded a lot, and did a lot of fun PvP. Sure, I died a couple of times, and when I did, I like GG to the people who killed me. But yeah, that and the Butcher's Blade, like the Maneater Mildred invader lady, like, you get her sword.
Really good weapon.
It's a great sword, but it is fast as can be.
Fuck yeah. Strength scaling as well, and buff self-buff is the skill. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So yeah, I dug that. I upgraded a couple other weapons, but I'd never really used them. I just like the weapons I had. But... yeah, I did end up using the infusions, but I still had no idea. Like, I used them and then felt like I was nerfing myself when I used them because I didn't know how they worked. And like looking at the stats, it's like, oh, you get a plus 32 here, but you lose 24, and then your defense goes down. I'm like, well, I guess I won't be defending, and I hope the damage ends up being greater. Like. It's very confusing, so it's hard to tell.
It's rough. Yeah. Like, it's annoying because it's only if you're like a person like me who power games and looks into this stuff that you ever really get a feel for it. Because, like, for example, refined is the best infusion in the game for physical weapons, but it only gets good when you get to about 30 strength decks. Everything past there, you think refined is just garbage. And it doesn't really give you a good reason to want to use refined because everything starts like DD scaling and you never really see the fact that refined can be the difference between CC and BB until late game, like plus 9 fucking levels. Like, there's also like fire looks so good on paper because it doubles the actual damage rating number. But you look into it. No, it's because fire, like for every damage type on your weapon, each of them is calculated against armor separately. So anything that has split damage types always does less than something with a single damage type.
Yeah, it was the weird thing of looking at my halberd and my sword. The halberd on paper did more damage. The sword did more damage in game. Like I was getting higher numbers. Exactly. I was like, well,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, and it's like. And then the stupid things, like the halberd's one of those weird examples where it's a big weapon, but actually attacks fast. Like the R1's is this constant poke, right?
Just
fucking poking straight forward. That's really good. But for things like the greatsword, like its difference in damage isn't worth how much slower it is. Like it only has like 100 more AR.
Well, no, but 40, like, 40 the other benefits of that is for certain bosses, like the halberd is just not practical. Like if Nameless King.
Yeah.
Especially that for that first phase, like you need something that is doing overhand attacks just to hit the tail.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was definitely.
Oh, hit the tail, or hit the head. Which one are you doing?
head.
Does it work? Can you hit the tail? I've never tried hitting.
Well,
the tail.
Well, no. He's got a long neck. It's just hit whatever part you can, regardless. It's above you, and possibly breathing fire down on you. But yeah, I just powered through, literally, because I wasn't main strength, but I didn't put a lot into dex. I did a lot of faith as well. I also had to invest in item or equip load. That's definitely one of the bummer parts of that game.
That's the annoying thing. It's like. Again, like only if you read into it and do math like me, and I don't expect people to do that.
Yeah.
Like most people wouldn't realize that all you need is 20 Vite and Havel's Ring, and you can equip almost every armor in the game. But 20 Might, Havel's Ring, and Ring of Favor, but you probably already want Ring of Favor because it gives you more stamina.
I should have looked it up, but I never found Ring of Favor.
No, I forget where it is.
Yeah,
it's a really good ring.
No, I'm aware. I did enjoy that there were four ring spots. I know Dark Souls 2 had that as well, but like that was just a nice thing of being able to properly boost whatever route
you
went. Like if you went dex, if you went strength, if you went caster, like if you went sorcerer, if you went miracle, like whatever route you went. There were enough the rings did a good job of properly cementing in that build. So
exactly, I know, and it also like lets you do things like you can spec to a boss now. Like if you're having problems with a boss, you can go there and
there were a couple times where I changed a lot around both equipment and I enjoy that
just for a ring and rings just to fight one boss. Yeah, I did that a couple times.
So, yeah,
especially for Nameless King.
I guess, putting a stamp on just the general gameplay and all that, I found it serviceable, but still confusing. It got the job done,
though. Oh, yeah. I think the only reason I put this at number one, past how good things like Infusion and Titanite and all that kind of stuff is, and build diversity, is the rolls. Dodge rolling, man. The fact that I took out light roll, so now it's just medium heavy, is fantastic because it gives you way more Fashion Souls ability.
Yeah.
In the end game, I was like 100% Fashion Souls because I had 20 Vite, Apple's Ring, and Ping of Favor. So I was like, that one. I don't like that cape. I can just move that shit around, and you could still get to like the break points you want to because you only really want 20% damage reduction, all that kind of stuff. But the beauty behind taking out Light Roll is because dodge rolling feels so good now because. There's like an intrinsic feeling of where in the animation the invincibility frame is. It's like the start. So like there are parts where I could never have done some of the dodges I did. It felt like Bloodborne. Like it felt like I could do Bloodborne-esque, not quite as good as Bloodborne, but of course we have shields in this game, so it shouldn't be as good. But there's like almost Bloodborne-esque. I'm just dodging through an enemy's attacks. Not even like away from them. I'm literally like dodging through your sword. It's landing inside my character, but that doesn't matter because I already hit dodge.
Invincibility frames.
Fuck yeah, and I'm fighting you. It feels so good. yeah, that's gameplay, I guess.
So yeah, let's do a lightning round, I guess, of just going through every zone using the wiki. Okay. Cemetery, sure. Cemetery Ash or Cemetery of Ash. I thought it was a serviceable, tutorial zone. Circuit? Yeah, I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I liked Eodix Gundyr. He was a fun fight as well. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't hard. He was just the right kind of difficult, and the enemies were right kind of difficult.
Yeah, the intro. Yeah, he was a really good intro one, and that was like I start off as Deprive. What'd you start off as?
I start off as a Herald.
Okay.
It's a spear. And it was really interesting.
And that was just a really good fight. I got him like second try.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, second try. Yeah. That's the first time I just ran out of stamina and just insta-gibbed it. Yeah.
Firelink, I thought it was cool. I mean, like, it's an open zone. I really enjoyed the patches stuff.
Nice. I only met him once. I probably missed a bunch of his stuff. I really like the lore, the Firekeeper lore that you get in there. And I appreciated Firelink even more once I went to Dark Firelink, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
And just like that, because you don't realize when you go through Firelink how much you get used to Firelink. And when you get to Dark Firelink, it's like, oh yeah, no, it's, oh wait, there's a wall here where, well, yeah, there's a wall here where this NPC usually is. That means it's probably an invisible wall. So you hit it and just, it's an invisible wall. Like, you get used to the ins and outs. And I actually really like Firelink Shrine. It's nice.
So this is just like a funny happenstance, but it was when I discovered that fake wall and I looted that item,
mm-hmm.
then I returned mm-hmm. to the actual Firelink and she had gone, but it was because I'd given her dark source or dark miracles, not knowing that I should have waited and given them to the dark witch lady instead.
Yeah.
I was just like, here, learn this. I want to learn to like silence things. For PvP. I didn't know.
And she goes crazy.
Oh, or something.
I don't know.
Sad.
I don't know.
She gets scared of you, and her brother takes her away or something. I don't know.
Oh, cool. All right.
So yeah, High Wall of Lothric, whatever. What'd you think of that?
I think it was an awesome first area.
It seemed like a good like send up to Undeadburg. Like that's what it felt a lot like.
Well, it felt like a good mix of Undeadburg and that first castle you go to in Demon Souls with the dragons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is a good mix of those
that
two.
World One, yeah.
Yeah, World One. It feels like World One, actually. It feels a lot like World One. I liked it. I think Lothric Knights are still one of my favorite enemies in that game. Because just that feeling of when you're like, whoa, these probably shouldn't fucking be here. These are hard. These are hard, man. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Get away from me. Get away from me, you huge ass knight.
I found like the so those are just the regular knights, right? Not the giant ones?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Not the Smaug-esque knights. The Smaug-esque knights were kind of a pushover. They're way too easy to get behind.
Yeah, way too easy. Like, I shouldn't have been afraid of you. I didn't know you went all the way around from you. What the fuck?
I didn't as much enjoy, and this might just be a result of, like, this is the price I have to pay for, like, wanting a giant skybox kind of thing in an expanded world. Mm-hmm. But what I liked mm-hmm. about Undeadburg was the ability to, like, look over and, like, oh, I'm over there kind of thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah
it was
yeah,
much
yeah,
more, it was yeah. very crowded in this area.
Yeah, far more dense, and you couldn't get that feeling of, like, where you were before. Yeah.
Undead Settlement.
I hate the fat ladies.
Yeah, they were annoying, but in the sense of, like, no, stay away, just kill you, yeah, either kill you quickly, or I'm running away from you for a second.
Why do you like the fact that they had fucking magic?
Yeah. Also, like, the skeleton cage things.
Those are fun. I actually like them. I liked them a lot. It gave me a good scare.
It was the thing. They gave me a scare once, and then I spent the rest of the game shooting arrows at those until I found out
every,
like, which ones are bad.
Every single goddamn one.
Take my time. Just shoot every one. Okay, all right. Also, okay. like I later right. found all out that like they are easier to. They do. You do more damage to them with arrows than you do with a melee attack.
Yeah, so, like, I never got why. I think it's maybe the really weak to pierce. I don't know. I never understood why.
But yeah, like it's ignoring the rotting tree. I guess just like that whole area. It was a very packed area for being a very like. It seemed like almost like a Y-esque shape, something
yeah.
like a.
It's a diamond.
Branching.
Right? Hmm? I think it's a diamond that unites at the tree.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, and I like the...
Well, like it unites at the tree, but the tree is not the final boss. You just have to beat the thing underneath the tower.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird. I didn't like the stupid path you take to the tower because it wasn't near a bonfire, so it's like, took me so long to get to the tower.
I agree, and then I discovered there was that bonfire underneath the windmill. I had to look that up, but I was like, what?
There's a bonfire underneath the windmill?
Yeah, because that's... there's a bonfire underneath it.
You mean just past the Boreal Valley Warrior? Because there is one there.
There's one just past the Boreal Valley. Okay, so you know when you... there's the windmill with the three guys throwing fireballs from above, and there's a jar guy.
Yeah. The one Vinny found. I never found that one. It was the one that you need to get to the Pyromancer.
Yes. Because I wanted to find where the Pyromancer was, and I looked it up on a wiki.
Yeah. Exactly. I never found it till well after. Yeah. Yeah.
That was just that annoying thing.
Fuck those little dudes with the fucking blow darts. Fuck those guys. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
What do they stand for?
Fuck. They definitely made it so I got really good at using the bow.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And I really like
bow.
Being able to shoot and move at the same time is nice.
Yeah. That bow is really good.
Yeah, Undead Settlement, more or less positive with that. Road
the tree
attack.
Pissed me off.
Man. Yeah, that tree.
Pissed me off. That was garbage. That was a garbage fight for garbage people.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
That fight. Road of Sacrifices.
I think things are just immune. Road of Sacrifices.
Road of Sacrifices.
Which one was that?
That was the one that's like, it's a swamp that isn't a poison swamp, but still kind of like, there's a bunch of guys with like tree spikes.
Giant crabs?
And giant crabs. Okay, those little the moving mushrooms that are poisonous. And
those fucking mushrooms.
And the werewolf things with crosses on their back that are way super aggressive.
I loved fighting those guys. Those are fun as fuck. And one black knight.
Yes.
That was why I love that area.
Yeah, I dug that, and then the loop back around that this is completely pointless, but I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's good. I really like that area. I think I hated the bird dudes only because I didn't like what the camera did when they jumped up. I was like, fuck you, fucking whatever. But the big giant crabs were dumb because they were way too easy. They should have been harder. I mean, they should have been you should come back later to fight these dudes.
The little ruined castle. I really liked the how compact, how close quarters it felt, and yet also there were moments where I just fell through a hole and then almost got grabbed.
And also they put sort of they weren't afraid to put mages in there. That was fun. You were fighting mages for one of the first times in a game in one of these games.
Also, just as a side, that's a really fun PvP area. I got into five or six man fights in there.
Holy shit.
Fun fact, if you use the dried up fingers, dried hand or whatever, that lets it so that you can summon three friends and you can have two enemies. And nice. So you can have a six man fight, and I think some of it was NPC invaders as well. And so we were all of us fighting in the water, what's going on? Who's and some of them, you can't tell if they're friend or foe sometimes. I think one guy had a ring that made him look a normal person, but I could target him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really funny. I like that ring. Those rings are good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those.
Next on the wiki is Cathedral of the Deep, which is a side path. But yeah, that I didn't get to that. I came back
later. I went to there and I was like, this area is probably for later. And I came and I went away. And turned out, no, that's kind of the next one.
We can talk about that. Yeah, we can talk about that now, though.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was it was a grand temple kind of fun, but it was fun.
Yeah. I don't feel disappointed in myself. I feel that the game should have stopped me from playing it that way because I cheesed the fuck out of that area.
Yeah.
Arrowed all the big dudes until they were dead. And the moment I figured out that even it didn't look like it, their heads are down, but their heads take a lot of damage. So you just pump 50 arrows in their heads and they just die and they never move. I'm just like, this is just sad. So I'm just like executing all these giants. And then the rest is just kind of, I liked two parts of the areas though. I liked the first time you meet dude with big shield, because essentially follow up to the Lothric Knight. I'm a dude with a big shield who like has magic, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I felt the Berenique Knight or whatever of Dark Souls 3.
Mm. Yeah, and then the part where you get fucking ganked by a fucking cursed spider. Fuck you, game.
Oh, there's, yeah. So,
oh my god.
I didn't get ganked by that. I think it was something where just like I didn't actually see it, and I just happened to be like, I stood at the doorway and was just like, oh, I'm going to go get like a drink or something and look over. And then I look, and I just like out of the corner of my eye, I see, and I'm in the doorway, so it can't hit me. I was like backing away, just shoot all the arrows at you.
It's in its face.
And so like it just jumps down after a few seconds. And I was like, oh God. And I kind of knew like this is an arena. Something's going to show up in here.
Yeah, I knew it was an arena. But I was like, I was a bit over leveled because I come back to Deacons of the Deep, because obviously I got to Boreal and I'm like, oh wait, I need a doll, and I looked up where the fuck did we get the doll, and I went to the fucking thing. I'm over leveled. So.
I did get jumped and killed by one of those things in Anor Londo though.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't expect another over. One.
I'm like, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fuck all damage. I got a shield, sweet. Then it's just like cursed. I'm like, fuck you. It so starts breathing. I see my curse bar. I'm like, oh, I just start legging it. I just leg the fuck away. And then I read it, but oh.
I just straight up ran for the to open the door because I feel like that's got to be there, and just opened it. And then like while trying to run out, it killed me. And like I got the door open. Progress. We're good. Yeah. But yeah, like it's that was definitely a bigger zone, but like it they made the most of. That single building.
Yes. Nice. I like how, yeah, you went around the outside of it. It felt very Anor Londo. Not to Anor Londo too soon, but yeah, go on.
Then Farron Keep, which is the poison swamp. And I really like that zone.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, this is probably the best poison swamp.
It is maybe my favorite zone. Like, there are other, like, just because, like, it's just an area that it's hard for you to see like far away with it, but it's not that big of a zone, and it's just like it's it got to a point where I ended up dying and losing all of my souls. Like I on the run back I died again, and I was like, screw it, let's just like trudge, since it pissed me off, but there's no rusted iron ring, there's no like swamp ring.
Yeah
And so
that's what pretty cool.
I trudged through and then just kept like healing through the poison, and that's when I found the basilisk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if I die, I'm going to just go slow right. through this. And so I took them all out, and then I found like, oh, this whole thing links. This is great.
It's a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really well designed area. Like because we're playing on PC, no frame rate problems. So it was just, it was running fine. And then that fixes half of it. And then you realize like, oh no, like, having that situation where I'm like, okay, I can't dodge roll, and shields don't work against curse, so I need to engage these basilisks in an intelligent way, or those fuckers who jump on your fucking head and almost insta-give you. Like, they're just like, okay, I know he doesn't have any weapons, so he's probably one of those fuckers, so I'm going to arrow him from here so I can take off half his health by the time he gets to me, and I'm going to hit him like twice and he's dead. And I don't want to deal with those jumping assholes. Like, stuff like that is fun.
Oh, yeah, those guys. And then there's the giant ones that I ended up...
The tree dudes.
The giant...
They're holding a tree? They're holding, like, a fucking tree or whatever?
Well, they're holding a giant tree, but it's a staff.
It's a staff, yeah. They're some of a sage or whatever. Something.
I ended up helping out a mage in one playthrough, and he had no problem with those guys. Like by the nice. Time I like by the time I trudged into like attack range, he had already killed it, and I was like, whatever.
That's sweet.
So that was nice. Like, well, I'm glad some class is having a good time with these guys, because they're the worst. I just avoided them.
The skulls do so much damage to you.
Yeah, and then like Abyss Watchers, it's a very tough fight, and a lot of people like it.
Oh yeah. Oh man. So I just want to quickly say I really like the whole lighting the things in that area. That's a fun little mini thing. I also really like dark raids because those fucked me the fuck up, man.
Yes,
like
that was a big surprise of just like I saw them like let's go the other way and luckily there was a bonfire there.
Yeah, thank God there's a bonfire. But to talk about the Abyss Watchers, that was actually the easiest fight in the game for me, and it highlighted the problem with this game. So it turns out that poise isn't really a big thing in this game.
I've read about that.
If you ever bring in the axe, you can just stun lock him. So he rocks. I'm like, oh sweet, Abyss Watchers. I've seen images of this fight. This looks really cool. The area looks cool. The idea of this like permanently undead legion that like wakes up and fights against itself and just fights against everything, and like you see them like in the pre-release footage of them fighting each other, then fighting the enemy, you, and then whatever. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I walk in, dude walks up to me, I dodge his attack, I hit him once, I'm like, wait, he's hit stunned, and I just keep hitting R1. I've finished one combo, I've taken away 80% of his health.
Wow.
I dodge his second attack, kill him, he revives, same thing with the second form.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, that's small weapons in this game, it's broken.
Before we leave Farenkeep, though, I do want to do a quick aside to, you climbed up that tower, right? Up to the bridge?
Yeah.
That was a really sweet area.
I didn't attack the dog dude. I was really proud that I didn't attack the dog guy.
Yeah, he's sleeping. What happens if you attack him?
He's a cool dude. I don't know. You don't get the Farren Greatsword, which is apparently Farren Curvesword, which is supposedly really, really cool.
I'm not the kind of person who kills a shopkeeper to get a sword, even when they're playing an invisible cat. All right, Dark Souls 1
people? You don't get that.
No,
there's nothing you gain. Yeah, from like, you have to get the level 1 of the Covenant to get that. You gain nothing. You just be an asshole. That's what you get for killing the dog. He's a cool dog, dude. What the fuck? You're right.
Chilling.
You get to the top, there's like a fucking wandering demon there, and that's cool.
Yeah, I really like killing that stray demon, and then like there's something the other direction.
And he gives you Apple's Ring, which is even better.
Yeah, I dug that.
Yeah, so good. And then, on the other side, there's like a dead dragon. It's like the other side of the bridge. Like when you first see the game, like this is a massive bridge, and you meet the betrayal dude, the asshole dude who makes you hollowed. And then the other side of the bridge is what you see when you're coming from this end, and you're seeing like, and there's enemies there, and there's like good items there. It's good. I like that. The whole area is cool.
Yeah.
Man.
It was good.
5 out of 5. Farren's Keep.
Yeah, I really dug Farren's Keep. Catacombs of Karthus. That was just a good. It was a good catacombs. It was better than the Dark Souls 1 catacombs.
Unlike the Dark Souls 1 catacombs, it didn't outstay its welcome.
Also, like I really like their take on reanimating things. It's just like they get up one extra time, and then you just kill them the second time, and they're dead.
Oh,
like
oh really? Did they die? Okay. Oh,
yeah,
cool.
That's nice. Because that's when you get souls. I was like, oh, okay, great.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know you could ever kill them. I was like, oh, they're reanimated. I'm just not even bothered. I'm just going to run past them. But, like, I liked those have some of my favorite enemies. Like, all the faster, the bigger skeletons were really fun to fight. Like, the dude with the curved greatsword and the dude with, like, the fucking, like, little small shiv blades that, like, go around shields and stuff and bleed you and also throw daggers and stuff. That was really cool. Oh, man.
And then I also, I laughed the first time I saw one of the rolling balls. Just like hey, we're just gonna keep moving ourselves. Let's go. We'll go back up this hill. All right.
The only enemy I didn't like out of the area was the stupid slime things. Fuck slime things in these games. They're lame.
Yeah, I mean, like
everything
else, just use fire.
Yeah, I used my fire Uchikatana for that. That's why I made my Uchikatana fire.
Pro tip: cool slimes are super effective against fire. Fire is super effective against
slimes. Yes, all the way around.
Yeah. I just used the rest of my fire bombs at them, and it was great.
Figuring out the bridge was the coolest thing about that area. That was really cool. I was like, I was wandering around, found the bridge, and I heard this sound, and I turned around, I was like, what's that? And I see this like fucking veritable wall of enemies, and the first time I was like, okay, I could take them, and I run away, and just try to kite them and kill them one at a time, and I didn't. But then the second time, I was like, no, I can fucking take them. So I, like, kited them around, and there's, like a little sliver of a path around the outside of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take them to the end of that, they can only come at you one at a time. And I literally killed them all and then read the message. that told me that can break bridge to make ladder or whatever the dude wrote. And I was like, oh.
And then it becomes a ladder that you climb down.
Oh. It's really cool. That was really good. And that was also the first mimic I fought. That was cool.
The first mimic I fought yeah, was in a High Wall of Lothric, and it's just like the very first chest. It's like, oh, this is a mimic, isn't it? Yep. Starting off on the right foot, I guess, Dark Souls. But yeah, if you climb down that ladder, you get to what I thought was just like a really cool zone, Smoldering Lake.
Yeah.
It kind of Norse mythology. It makes me interested in, well, okay, you're in a giant like fire cavern, like a fire pillar cavern, like kind of dwarf-esque almost, with a ballista, like something is throwing spears and javelins at you. So again, kind of Viking-esque, kind of Norse, and there is a like giant worm monster. And like it may not be, it probably isn't Norse and Viking and whatnot, but it made me super interested in what would happen if From Software did a game of that type.
Yeah, that'd be really
what those
cool.
bosses would be like. What that like, because you've talked about like just now of the lone like Viking badass holding off a horde of things coming at him on a bridge.
Yeah, that was cool.
That would be great.
But not Onimusha. We're not talking about Onimusha, people at home. Fuck you, Onimusha's shit. Sorry, not Onimusha. I'm not thinking. I think of Dynasty Warriors. Onimusha's all right. Dynasty Warriors is shit. Shut up. But no, you're right. What did you think of that zone? For one, I cheesed the shit out of that worm. So again, kind of robbing myself of a fun fight, but I don't care. I wasn't going to take it.
Yeah, by that time, I was just like pulling in summoning help, and he was like, "No, just stand." The summoner told me to stand at this specific spot, and then he would be the one that was just getting like impatient and like edging out, and then eventually died,
getting hit by ballista.
like, oh, I see where you have to stand. Okay, but then he'd be like lose half health.
I just love how the whole like the mini boss of that area is just the ballista in the distance. That's constantly firing at you, and you go through this whole cave system with fun enemies in it as well.
Yes.
Like, really cool, like the mini demons or whatever that summon orbs and stuff. Those are fun.
Oh, cool.
And like, you go through, and the whole thing, and because there's a ladder, and you climb up, and you top of that mountain, and you're fighting more of those samurai fucking skeleton dudes, and that was fun, and wheel skeleton dudes, because that was a cool callback, and there's only three of them, thank God. And then you get to the blister.
And then you find the dead giants as well. I'm like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Good. That was good environmental storytelling.
I agree. And I'd have to say that at that point of the game, that boss, the old Demon King, was like my favorite boss.
That was a tough fight.
That was a tough fight. But also, like, I like this idea of, like, you fought Demon Kings in the past.
Yeah.
And this is, like, literally an old pot-bellied with, like, a staff. And I love that.
Surrounded by mounds of dead demons. It's like, man, if you thought the like Capra demon was tough, there's a bunch of dead bodies of those. This guy killed all of them.
This guy's a fucking savage motherfucker. Like, yeah, it was a fun fight. Like, when I realized that like he summons a meteor storm, that was cool. Like, oh, that was cool. Yeah.
Smoldering Lake. I dug it. It definitely wasn't one of my favorite. It was okay. It was cool. So now we're going to get into like the second half, I guess. This is like post. We're getting into the lower half. Ithril of the Boreal Valley.
Oh man, I have to say that when I first walked out of the because I hate catacombs areas. That's why I said like it just did not say it's welcome. I never like catacombs areas. I like the enemies in there, but I just don't like the feeling of being a dank dungeon, like, for whatever reason. I don't know. But the moment you walk out of there, and it's probably the most beautiful city I've seen in a video game. Like, I don't know, I'm not even joking. Like, if it wasn't for how wide the aspect ratio would need to be, I'd make that my desktop wallpaper. It's gorgeous. Like, just, oh, that's, and you can see like the other parts of the world in the distance, and it's like, wow, it just looks so nice.
What bummed me out kind of was there were parts I could see, like there's that cliff thing just jutting out to the right and like that structure on the top.
Firelink,
like,
Shrine. That's Firelink Shrine.
That's Firelink?
I'm pretty sure it's Firelink. It's either Firelink or it's the Dark Cathedral. It looks like it's like one of the big cathedrals. I think it's Firelink.
It reminded me of like parts of old of like Dark Souls 1.
Mm.
It's like
when you see something else in the distance. Yeah.
Like when you'd get out of into Darkroot Garden and you could look off and see like it reminded me of Undead Chapel.
Yeah. Yeah.
What it looked like. It was like, wait, is that an old rubble of that or something? Like that was cool.
Yeah. So cool.
But yeah, I had a moment of viewing all that. Man, look at all this majesty. And then looking down and then seeing, like, because of being on PC and having such great graphics, I could tell, like, you could kind of tell what's an enemy and what is part of the world still.
Yeah.
And I saw like the hulking thing, like, oh, look at that. I wonder if I can hit that. Shomp. And then it crawls up and I'm like, fuck. Let's go somewhere else. And that's when I went back to the Cathedral of the Deep.
Well, I went all the way to that and I fought the dog dude.
Yeah.
That was a fun fight.
That was a fun fight.
Got to the thing. Yeah. Most of the mini bosses in this, fun fights. In fact, up until that point, even Black Knights are like mini bosses. May as well be. Like, they're fucking hard, and that's fun. But then he goes, oh, you need a doll. I'm like, what the fuck? What do you mean I need a doll? And then I was like, oh, there's that place. And I looked it up, like, yeah, I need to go back to that place. I went back to that place.
But yeah, that, like, it looked really cool. It was a wonderful spectacle, but that's definitely one that, like, it kind of outstayed its welcome for me. Like that
really?
Was
I thought Irithyll was too short. I thought Irithyll was like, it looks so huge from the outside, but it's actually really tiny. It's like one main street and then a cathedral. And that's it. And it's got the whole underground area. But it's got like
it's like two or three maybe one main street and two or three side streets that loop back to the main. Exactly. and then the underground, like the underground area. And I'm not talking about Ithril Dungeon. Yeah. I'm talking about going on the ground level and then like,
we'll get to that. Fucking Ithril Dungeon. Oh. No, Ithril, like actual top area. I was like, I prefer, cause the underground area and that kind of stuff was really lame. Like the stupid hair enemies were dumb and too easy. And like Silver Knights were cool, but like everything else was like, this didn't feel like a need to be here.
Yeah.
But Irithyll, I think, should have been like more like the size of a
Yharnam?
Undeadburg or
Highwall
Lothric with a couple of different paths and areas. And that would let it do more interesting stuff and have more enemy variety. Because it only really has like three enemies. It has sages, weird invisible dudes, and Silver Knights.
And maybe that's why I don't like it, is because like they didn't do a really good job of, like, it felt like I was fighting the same fight over and over and over again. And it wore on me in a way of just like, this is getting super old. And I just want to get through this. And
the
time,
especially
like,
with the
distance between bonfires were so tough.
There was a lot of distance between bonfires. Until you realize that one in the little like chapel or whatever is like the middle of the whole area. And then you just
have to get shortcuts and loop back. Yeah. But.
Yeah, which that part I like. I've always loved the Dark Souls. Oh, this is, you find the shortcut and that shortens this thing, and that, I've always liked that. But like, it didn't feel like it earned it in that area because nothing else was long enough. Nothing else was interesting enough. Everything was long enough, wasn't interesting enough, so it wasn't memorable. So like, yes, you'd fight a sage who shoots fire at you, and you kind of just have to close distance and then wail away at him, and he dies. And then guys with two swords seem really cool at first. Then you realize that, no, you just block it. And then within one combo, they're dead. The only one I liked fighting in that whole area was the the scythe dude. But everyone else was like, whatever. And the hair people were shit.
Yeah.
They were creepy, though. Creepy as fuck. Creepy as all fuck.
I really liked fighting the fire lightning dude. But he would always be with other people, and that made the fight so much tougher.
Yeah. He'd always be with two other normal dudes, and I don't think I ever fought him. I just arrowed him from a distance. That was it.
Speaking of arrowing from a distance, fuck that like sewer system. Not the Earthworld Dungeon. Just like that area full of those creepy crawlies. That was like, I hated that thing. I finally during a run back or something, I was just so pissed and just melee them instead. And they're easy enough to melee, but it's the thing of like, I imagine if you are not on top of your game, they can swarm you real quick and it gets tough.
Yeah. If you're not, this whole game, and this was like a consistent problem with it until very late game, where almost everything's a Lothric Knight. For most of the mid game in this game, it was just a game of lure one enemy, kill it. Lure the next enemy, kill it. Lure the next enemy, kill it. Lure the next enemy, kill it. And that's it. Just rinse and repeat over and over and over again. Because if you go anywhere close to them, you're going to get swarmed.
Like, that kind of bugs me. Like, one of the things I enjoyed about Dark Souls 1 was that, like, there were times in which you had to employ cheese strats, but that's also because the devs kind of knew you wouldn't employ cheese strats. And this just, like, most of this game is just, like, maybe they just shouldn't have given you a good bow and arrow kind of thing. Because...
Yeah, maybe.
Cheese strats
it felt like they tried to limit us by having 99 arrows. That just meant I bought more arrows all the time and more types of arrows. And it's like I honestly think it's a balancing problem. I don't know when it happened, but at some point Dark Souls devs just went, oh, we'll just put lots of enemies. That makes it hard. True, it makes it hard, but it just makes us want to cheese it.
Yeah. Hard doesn't equal fun.
Yeah. And like, when we talked about, what the fuck was it called? Neo, in this game, two enemies in Neo was a way more desperate fight than eight enemies in Dark Souls. Because when it's two enemies in Neo, like, it's both of them can actually kill me, A, and B, it's actually easy to accidentally aggro both because range isn't that much of a thing in Neo, at least in the early game. In this, it can frequently throw eight enemies at me, but that just means I just range them out and just lure them, and any individual one isn't fun to fight. It's just an easy fight. Whereas in Neo, everyone's a fun fight, and two at the same time is an almost impossible fight. So, yeah. It's way, way different.
So, there's more or less on Ithril Valley. I guess any late-game Ithril will tie in with the zone that's Alondo Way coming. But let's just dive into it. Let's go deep with Ithril Dungeon.
Fucking Ithril Dungeon.
I
fuck you.
So starting off the lantern guys, I just want to say just like the very cruelest of just like bitterly tipping the hat to From Software and be like, okay, that's a good, horrible, evil, cruel, I guess nice job. Like enemy design of just like, hey, we're gonna do the mist thing at you. We're just gonna be like, you're rolling out of it. If you don't kill us right away, we're gonna make it so you're not only you lose health, your health bar goes down. And like
it lowers your maximum health.
Yeah, and it
and
like
you gain health, gone.
It's gone. There was a point, there were like it just cause like I knew I had it in I knew I was overpowered enough just to like wreck house. I got down to, like, effectively one hit point.
Yeah, same.
It just shrunk all the way, and I'm like, screw it, let's go.
Yeah, I was like, fuck it, you know what, fuck it.
You get, like, because thankfully, they aren't that good at defending themselves.
Yeah, thank God. They're probably, I've heard there are easier versions of some other enemy in Bloodborne that I haven't fought, because I quit Bloodborne pretty early, but, in like, the Chalice Dungeons, I don't know. But for me, that might be the best enemy design in this game. Because they nail, in terms of like what they intended to do, which was make an enemy you absolutely hate. You hate those dudes. You do not want to see their fucking faces. You don't want to see them. Like when I've gone there,
that's why they wear those masks.
And,
they know.
They nailed that enemy because they're fuckers. Them and the fucking room with three hippo dudes. Fuck you.
Oh, the weirdo babies.
Oh, hippo babies.
The weird
hippo hand babies.
The first time I saw one of those, it's not aggressive, and you can't target it. And so I was like, are you...
It's like, oh,
so Dark Souls logic, I guess. If you can't target an enemy, like with the Z targeting, it's not an enemy, and it's possibly an NPC. And so, like, mm-hmm. I just turn a corner, and I've been hearing this weird, like wailing noise, I guess, snoring. In the game. Oh, like, what is that? Right. And I turn the corner, and there's just this, like, I can't. Cynic, you might be able to explain this, but it's just like
it's
hands are against the side of the wall. Its head's tilted, and it's got this giant baby face.
Oh, those fuckers! Oh, those dudes! Those are weird. Those are really weird. I thought you were talking about the hippo dudes. No, those dudes are fucking weird. Like they're fucking like they look like baby heads on like lizard bodies.
Yeah,
it's fucked. They were easy. I just never want to fight them because they creep me the fuck out.
Yes, that's why I hated them. It's like, hey, let's just make Uncanny Valley an enemy in this game, okay? We'll just do that.
All the top couple of enemies I never want to fight again, like four of them are an Irithyll fucking dungeon.
Like that dungeon. All right.
Getting loose. Yeah, that one room at the bottom of the cathedral where all the lake outside is toxin lake, not even poison, fucking toxic. Like the worst condition in the game aside from curse. And it's a small room with three hippo motherfuckers, all of which like do 3/4 the health and damage if they roll on you. It's like, fuck you. Oh, thank God they're one hit kills. And they're
You could have said the hippo monsters that have hands for faces.
I think I said hand hippo babies.
yeah, that was. Oh.
Fuck those guys.
The one kind of like fun question mark things of that zone was when you got down and fought the. I don't know if you ended up bow and arrowing the giant or if you fought him at.
I did.
When you get down to ground level, it's this fun thing of like. They aren't infinite spawning, but there's like 20 rats. That spawn rats. While you're fighting this guy, it's like
that would have been a cool fight.
Yeah,
it was.
I can see that. Also, can I just say that not only does it have some of the worst enemies in the game, I'm pretty sure in no Dark Souls game ever made has there been so many mimics in one fucking area.
Yep,
I think there's only one normal chest in that whole fucking area. I think everything's a fucking mimic. What? Hell,
and I think it's in the room with the hippo baby. The hippo baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe. I remember this one was like there's two chests at the end of a sewage way and there's like
they can't
a
both
dead
be
there's
bad.
Like a, yeah, they can both be mimics. The ones have got a blood stain from it, so I hit that first. And not only is it it's not a mimic, but it's one of those
like
dog mimics.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was
fuck those things, because they leap at you. I wish there were more of those, because they're way harder to fight than the normal ones, but like...
There's enough of them.
And then,
there's enough of them. Don't ask for more.
Wait, there's more than one? I've only seen one.
Oh, I fought a couple.
Oh, you're saying one? Okay.
Like, not at the same time, but that is not the only one of those I've seen in the game.
Okay. Yes. And then I went to the other one, and I was like, is this so angry? I just hit the chest, and thank God. Thank God I hit that chest.
That would have been a rough hit, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, let's just jump into the next. Just ignore the rest of Ithril Dungeon. Profane Capital.
I like that area. It's
that's good.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty.
So in the same way that
really small, really
Cathedral of the Deep kind of felt like a Uncharted episode.
Mm.
Profane,
yeah, I guess.
Profane Capital felt like a God of War like game.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Yeah, big open spaces, big enemies.
Yes, the biggest. All the fire things. Like, yeah. It was a short zone, but I liked it. It was cool.
Very short zone. Yeah, it was because it was after Irithyll Dungeon. It was
anything's
like,
great.
Anything's great. Yes, but B, like I was happy that it was short because I was so tired. After Irithyll Dungeon, I was like, I can't deal with this right now.
I can't even.
New one was fun. Oh,
yeah. So yeah, then that ends the...
That
I think that's as deep as we go, yeah.
Line. Yeah, that line. Like it felt like a quest line almost, because you're chasing after Yorm, right?
Yeah.
No, you're chasing after the I was going to call him the Abyss Watcher, but he's not. The globule dude. The guy who should be slime but isn't. The Ark?
St. Ulrich.
Aldrich.
Of the Deep is the next boss up at high in Anor Londo.
Yeah. So the quest line is you're chasing after him. That's why you go to the Deacons. That's why you go to Irithyll. That's why you get so on and so forth. But it turns out you find this other fucker.
Like, wait, this doesn't make sense. So yeah, Anor Londo, next zone on the list.
Man,
that was weird. Nostalgia trip.
It got me here though. Like, it got me. Like, it, because like the whole time you're in Irithyll Bor Rowell, this is kind of like this place kind of reminds you of Anor Londo. And then when you get to Anor Londo, it's like
no, not that. When you get to the Dark Moon Temple, it's like, oh, this is cool. This is weird. All right, cool. And then you get to the Spiral Staircase. Oh, it's one of these again. Okay. You flip the lever, and then just you get to the top. Okay. Sure.
Just fucking.
We're back here. But in terms of designing, like, that is really good level design in terms of, like, they go up the stairs, and that's when they see it. Like,
yeah.
In terms of, like, it's very tough to design correctly a player to walk up and see a vista. Very often they'll be like looking down at their feet when they should be looking up an amazing view that artists have spent tons of time on. And so that's a really good way of just like setting up a really good memory for people to have in a game.
Yep. Yeah. It was, and also like I loved fighting Silver Knights. Silver Knights are really fun to fight in this game. Like
they felt a lot more aggressive in this one than previous.
Absolutely. And do lightning stuff. I didn't remember if they used to do lightning stuff.
Not so much aggressive as much as them and the Lothric Knights were much smarter about, like, it was harder to get behind them. And so you just had sort of had a pair.
Yeah, exactly. You two, they, when you got to, like, their, like, 70-degree mark, if you're talking, like, look, 180 minus
on their left side, they just start shield bashing you.
Yeah, that's really, and it's really, and on the right side, they swing their sword. Like, they try to keep you away, and that's really smart. I like that more than the stupid, oh, enemy will fall back on you with Dark Souls 2. Like, oh, this big dude will just roll on you. Oh, no, this was way better. They actually just were smarter about their attack animations and where their area effects were. But also, like, I liked how it was Anor Londo, but it was like a. This is the greatest hits of Anor Londo. This is the Darkmoon Temple, and if you hit the invisible wall, there's like something that's reminiscent of where Gwyndolin was, and there's like really good armor there, like brass. The brass armor is really good.
That's what I ended up rolling with near the end of the game.
I rolled with Silver Knight, but Dragon Killer, Dragon Slayer. So,
well, no, there might have been a better stat one, but that's the one I like. Yeah. That's the one that's like, okay.
Oh, not only has it got good stats, it looks really nice. Yeah. I really like the brass armor set.
Like, if I was ever going to cosplay as a Dark Souls character, it would be that. Because
it might be a Black Knight. Black 100%. Like, if I was to think Dark Souls, I think Black Knights.
Like, Black Knight Tarkus Black Knight? No? Okay. Yeah,
it's a streamlined dark. I know it's just the main building. It's not all the other stuff.
None of the side stuff. You end up going and see the giant blacksmith, and you get all the notes from other players of like sadness and all that. Like,
why? That's really good.
Why'd you have to die? Yeah. I loved you so much.
That was so cool. And he was there. Like, it was cool. That was awesome. And then I liked seeing the inside of Anor Londo covered in slime. That was like a really interesting.
That was weird. That was a cool thing. That boss fight was tough. Kind of. It was an easy.
Why wasn't he a slime ball?
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking of the whole boss fight. Like, even though it was hard, I had to try it a couple times.
Better than why is he a slime ball? Why is he shooting, like, electric lightning at me with arrows?
Why do you have a weird lightning bow? Like, why do you have an insane instant kill bow attack? Like, the rain from the sky thing.
That was just
which
like,
is one of the coolest animations I've seen in the game. But
yeah, that was a tough one to avoid.
Like if you get hit, it's over. It's over. but it was a fun fight. Yeah. I never understood. I didn't understand his story. Like, I like the what they made his story into, but how he got from A to B was never really explained. Like, he absorbed Gwyndolin, and that's why, like, if you look at his character model, the part that's got the lightning bow and stuff, that's actually Gwyndolin. That's the upper half of Gwyndolin. He's actually the fucking black tail under him, and the rest of that, I think the rest of the ooze in that room, that's him. So, yeah. Whatever.
No, it checks out.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and it teleports.
Yeah,
that's when it started, like, grabbing the reins and telling the story or trying to tell a story.
Yeah, right. At that point, well, like, you could have, I guess, not killed Yorn then and killed him first, then killed Yorn. But that's when you have defeated all other bosses except for Lothric, and you get teleported, and your only option is to do the dancers. And a lot of people get pissed at this point, because it's
not your only option. I just homeward boned and fucking spent some souls and came back later.
No, not necessarily pissed at that point, but just like, that is a very tough boss fight.
Is it? Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was really easy. I don't know.
I watched a person spend like several hours. I don't know how many, several hours on that boss fight. They hated that boss fight.
Really?
Yes.
Why? I don't even get what's difficult. Like, it's, he was like, she was a weaker version of Pontiff Sullivan because she had fewer attacks. She didn't have a shadow. She had the same.
This is that person that was doing the naked run. So they were very, like, any hits, yeah, they got right.
Yeah.
Especially
if
when
you don't have a decent shield.
With the spinning attack, that was tough.
Yeah. No, I take everything back. Yeah, if you don't have a decent shield, that fight can be fucking rough.
But it is an epic fight.
Man. Yeah, it's really cool. I love the animations. It's really cool.
But yeah, the castle, that was just like, it just felt like straight up Dark Souls. Just like, yo, where's going to make
castle? I was thinking, because the Lothric, not Lothric, the stupid poison area was one of my least favorite areas of that game.
What's the poison area?
So if you go, once you get to the castle, instead of going forward and actually going into the castle, you go left.
Yeah.
It's 5 minutes long.
That's consumed King's Garden, which we'll get to next.
Okay,
so Lothric Castle is
Lothric Castle first?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just going by the wiki.
Yeah.
You're going up. Like, it definitely wasn't like amazing, but it was just like, it was just proper Dark Souls. It was, again, the nostalgia trip of just like, hey, this is what you'd expect us to do when we made a castle.
So Anor Londo was the point beyond which I realized that it feels like you could tell they only had a couple years to make this game. So like, up until that point, all the areas, especially places like Highwall Lothric and the Farron's Keep, are like big. And take you a couple hours to get through and have like a couple different routes to go through and a couple different side objectives and maybe link to a bonus area. But I feel like after you got to the moment you find out Anor Londo is like half an hour long, it feels like everything else in that game is like an hour to an hour and a half.
Like the
max.
The meatiest of that was probably Lothric. Grand Archives by like a close second, but like, yeah, everything else, yeah, just like jumping through. Like, you got Londo, Consumed King's Garden, Untended Graves, Kiln of the First, and then Archdragon.
Yeah. And each one of those was like an hour. Like, It felt like Lothric Castle could have been good if it had more time to breathe. Especially since I, like, when those dragons like dropped down, I just blowed them and I was like done. And then and they didn't respawn. I was like, this is way too easy. I was assuming like it was easy because they'll respawn. That's funny. That's a funny joke. Haha. but no, they just died and they're just gone, and then there's
weird,
just nothing.
Yeah.
There's another portal back, dude, and he's easy. And it was until Princes, I was disappointed with that area. Actually, I liked the dragon armor fight. That was kind of fun. But
yeah, that was a cool fight, if only just because like the craziness happening around. Like, you're like, what are those things in the sky? And then like you find out, I still don't know what they are, but they're shooting weird fire. They're shooting quite fireballs at me.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like, just the spectacle of it, and entirely they're called butterflies. I've never understood. I still don't understand.
But yeah, like that. I guess it's hard to talk about Lothric Castle like with any spot in particular, because it was
all the same.
It was good, but it was more or less all the same.
I really liked the how difficult the Red Eye Knights were in that area. That was fun, especially when they had a healer behind them, because you'd be like, you need to rush past them, kill healers.
And that was the thing of like the knights were so good AI wise that if you tried going for the healer, they'd be on your ass the entire time.
They'd be on you. And, that was fun. Those are fun fights. I really like Lofty Castles for the fights. I hated the actual. Well, I didn't hate it, but I just thought the area was undercooked.
Yeah. Speaking of undercooked, consume King's Garden.
5 minutes long. What the fuck? How long is that area? I don't even understand. Like, there's six enemies.
It was a lane that is like the pool, and then like I bow and arrowed almost like my entire way through there.
Yeah, everything there except for the knights at the end, which I like fighting, so I fought them. Everything else I bow and arrowed. I think I Uchigatana'd some of the big dudes just to see if I can fight them nowadays. I was like, those used to be really tough. I wonder if I can fight them.
It was at the point that I was like, I just want to get this game done. I did the most effective way of getting through them. I didn't want to risk anything.
Yeah,
it was a neat boss fight.
Yeah, I like the baby stuff.
Yeah,
the actual boss fight was too easy.
Yeah, whatever. It was weird.
Yeah,
Grand Archives. That was basically the library. That was like it probably wasn't a big zone, but it felt like a big zone because it was the reverse of the Cathedral of the Deep. If you start in the center and you work your way up and out, and you go back to the roof. Really cool. That was a cool thing.
That was really cool. And then, I actually really like almost everything about the area. Like, the moments where the hands came out of the ground, you're like, that's unfair! Fuck you! Fuck you, game! God damn it! And they cursed, too! God damn it!
So, did you ever dip your head in the wax?
No.
That cancels that curse thing.
That's funny,
yeah.
Because those dudes have weird wax heads.
Yeah, and I was just like, "What? I'm not." I looked it up. I was like, "Oh no!" It basically makes it you immune to curse for like 5 minutes or something.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I like that. And I like those enemies. I like the fact that they weren't afraid to use the Crystal Sage again because he was a fucker. The second time I was like, "You fucker! Oh, you come back here, you piece of shit! Look at me when I'm talking to you."
And then like once you start wearing him down, and then like the further he falls back, he's got friend mages shooting fireballs as well. Yeah. It's like, I'll take these guys out
first.
That
was really fun. Like the mini bosses in this game are almost better than most of the bosses, I swear.
So I got invaded while fighting him.
Oh no.
And it was a thing of like, then because I was in the proper covenant, I had a buddy with me. And
nice.
It was like it up the difficulty, but it was still balanced enough. So we're just like, how are we gonna? All right, you engage. I'll take out him. I'll meet back with you. And I think I killed the sage the same time he killed like the red invader and killed the cop.
Nice.
And so then it became a thing of just like the two of us standing down. It was a really good climactic finish. He killed me.
That's really cool.
But it was good. I liked it. I had fun with that.
Red invaders are really good. People who invade tend to be pretty good. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, like not exactly. Like I've killed my fair share. I guess it's also the thing of just like 2v1. It's tough.
Right. Yeah. No. The only time I got invaded that I lost, it was it was a good moment. We'll get to it in a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. But yeah, Grand Archives. I guess then we'll talk about once you get on top and you get to the boss fight. That was a neat moment. The boss fight was weird.
I liked that. I loved the three NPCs you fight before you get to the shortcut at the very end of
Cathedral. Oh, the three, like, that was a cool thing.
That the dude with in Dragon Lake armor with an axe, that was cool to see. A, someone in Dragon Lake armor, B, dude with a big great axe. Chick with the spells. I ended up kiting them and then bowing one of them and then fighting the rest. But that was a fun fight.
I managed to just maneuver them in a way that I could like engage one at a time. But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. So I also want to say that thank you, From Software, for having good shortcuts. Because the shortcut just to the right of the brothers was clutch. That was so clutch. Also, those knights, like clearing that bridge the first time actually felt like a momentous, like, You're at the end of a bridge, and there's a whole army of dudes behind cover and shit in front of you, and you have to just whittle your way through them, killing everyone in your way to get to this cathedral at the end. That was cool.
Like, it I felt really like liked they were making a last stand kind of thing. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. What do you think of the actual boss fight?
I thought it was neat.
Yeah. I thought it was really hard, actually.
Yeah. I had three people helping me.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of like completely ham, but it was like, hey, this is a neat thing.
I played the whole game solo, and I have to say, if it wasn't for the one-hit boss fights, the one-hit kills, that boss fight would have been one of my favorite in the series. Because he has that one, like, he gets up and he charges his sword with white light, and he slashes the ground and makes like this beam of white light. That will do about 75% of your health and damage. I had 30 vitality and the best armor I could wear with my pretty high equip load.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instant killed me most of the time, because you usually take one or two hits before that, right? But like the whole, like, I love the story they wove into that fight. That's like one of the best fights, I think.
We'll do after levels, we'll do a quick cap on story, like overall as well as individual stories. But yeah. The individual stories, that one, like, I like that. The story plot really overall, nice. I was kind of half baked. Like,
at least I tried to tell one, but yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't good.
But yeah, that's Grand Archives. Finishing off, mm-hmm. we're with three to go. Next one's short-ish, mm-hmm. Untended Graves. One of your favorite boss fights.
Loved it.
That was great.
First and foremost, like, the normal enemies you fight are hard. Like, those are already fuckers. I don't know. Like, you never fight them again. They're underutilized. Those are fun dudes to fight. They're like the skeleton dudes before they became skeletons. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what they are, too, because they have the same weapons. These fuckers, and then whenever there's dogs in that area, there are like eight dogs.
Mm-hmm. And then they do the thing of like, oh, in the first tutorial there's a single crystal lizard. Well, now we're going to make it super dark and give it two crystal lizards.
Oh, wait, this I didn't even go down that path. There's crystal lizards there?
Well, not the little crystal lizards, the big crystal lizards.
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah. There's two
of them. I didn't even go down. I didn't see it. I looked for that shortcut. Because it's all dark, I didn't find it. I was like, fuck it, I just want to keep it. Then I fought the boss, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to fight this boss, because that's fun.
Yeah, that was a dope boss fight.
Yeah. Oh, and there's two crystal lizards. If I play that game again, I'm going to go fight the shit out of this.
So next is the only, like, side zone, Arch Dragon Peak.
Yeah.
I really dug that. So,
it was
okay.
Beautiful.
In the same way of like an Uncharted, like a nod to Uncharted, a nod to God of War, this felt like a mm-hmm. nod to Prince of Persia. Like, I really enjoyed, like, it almost had like kind of like an Arab, like a Persian, like Prince of Persia, like a castle. Like,
and the enemies were dressed in like robes or like tattered robes and stuff. And like, just like the design of it, the and the sunlight. Like, it's one of the only areas in the game that are just covered in sunlight.
It was so nice. Just a bright blue sky. It was so nice.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it halfway through the storm, but then it comes back with sunlight. It was great. Something else I just want to point out in terms of environmental storytelling, you get places like Ithril Dungeon where, like, maybe one chest in there was not a mimic. And it's just like, man, this is just like a lying, cheating, just scummy place. Arch Dragon Peak, not a single mimic.
Really? I didn't even notice that.
I was too busy
having troubles with those little fucking rolling fuckers that do so much damage.
I kind of noticed, like, wait, are those twinkling Titanite lizards that have just gotten bigger?
just angry.
They're just angry, like, all of our brothers have been killed. You're the worst. We're going to get you now.
Like, revenge mode. None of those. And, like, but there's everything to that area, because there's also the dragons.
The hardest boss fight in the game, in my opinion. Of course, everyone knows. Pavel the Rock. I had to summon for him.
No way!
I couldn't, like, he just has so much, like, I would get him down to like below, I'd give him like 40-30%, and then like he just wrecked me. And I'm just like, you have too much health. I can't even.
Like, I had no problems with it. But, so here's the thing. This is the point. So you beat the Wyvern, which we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fantastic way to get introduced to the area as well, because that's the whole area. And then you realize that you go around the outside of the keep. Again, like that inside-outside kind of thing from the other areas. Like, fantastic execution. Like, that is actually probably, aside from, I think, being too short, that's probably the best area in the game. But, like, the moment you kill the Archdragon, whatever the fuck it's called, the Ancient Wyvern, you get teleported.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you roughly 100,000 souls. Because I roll with the Shield of Want and the Covetous Silver Serpent Ring, so to get 30% more souls all the time. Also, Shield of Want's one of the best shields in the game, so why not? So rolling with those two, he gives me like 90,000 souls. I'd killed all the enemies up to him because I just kind of wandered it up. I didn't think there'd be a boss fight there because I was like, I'd heard the Nameless King was there. So I was like, oh, there wouldn't be two bosses in one area. Of course, there were two bosses in the one area. And then, so I'm sitting there with like 180,000 souls. It teleports you to another area, right?
Right in front of a bonfire.
Right in front of the bonfire, and the bonfire doesn't work. I go up to it, and it's like, that's not working.
Oh, because there was an enemy nearby.
No. So it's like, oh, that's not working. You have been invaded by blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what do you mean I've been invaded by blah, 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 blah? And I go outside, and I thought it was an NPC invasion, because you're human, because you're embered, because you just fought the dragon, and you beat him. And so there's like this animation of this like this enemy rising from the ground. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I start fighting him, and then I see a red phantom in the distance. I'm like, who's this guy? And then it's like, red phantom, this is the only time I died to the red phantom. Red phantom. And one of the fucking dragon slayer dudes with a big fucking two-handed sword coming after me. And I'm just like running, and I'm just trying to kill them both. And I'm just like, when I'm blocking one, the other one's breaking my shield. And I'm just like, oh, and I just fucking got decimated. So I'm sitting there at the bonfire, and I'm like, 180,000 souls are like just in there. And if it wasn't for the fact that you could dash to it and grab the souls and homeward bone the fuck out... I probably would have died. Probably would have died. Because those dudes are tough. Like, those dudes are actually... I found Sword and Shield dude, Dragon dude, harder than Havel the Rock. Which isn't to say that that's the only thing I fought there. Because that bitch can actually summon Havel the Rock if you haven't beaten him yet. I had to fight Havel the Rock twice.
I saw that. I saw, hey, that guy looks like Havel. Run. Like, I'm just cheesing past this stuff now. Let's just go.
Oh, man. That was great. But I have to say the hardest thing about that whole area is getting up to the actual peak. A Wyvern attacks you, whatever. You shoot him through full arrows through a window. That's fine. Yeah. But when you get to the top, there's this like pathway, and there's like fucking 80 enemies there.
Yeah, and they're like a dozen. The
three big dudes, mm-hmm. and like a bunch of small dudes, mm-hmm. and it took me like four tries just to run up that 50 fucking meter stretch. That was tough. And you go the other direction, how fucking have all the rocks up there? Fucking game. Fuck you.
That was good. How long did you have to look up? Like, how long did it take you to figure out, like, oh, I just walk off and then suddenly I'm walking on, like, clouds?
Oh, there were messages there.
Okay.
I
assisted one person, didn't know that they were fighting the boss. Like, how did you get there? I thought you had to go down to the gate. And then it wasn't until, like, a second, I helped the second person out and I saw them just hop down, like, oh, okay.
You're right. That is the most anime boss fight in the series.
So good. It's so good.
If it wasn't for some small balancing things and some camera problems, that would probably be the best boss fight in the series. It does have some significant balance and camera problems, but like, man, like you go in and a fucking dude on a fucking dragon just fucking lands right in front of you. Everything's fucking covered in storms. You can't see the ground.
And then the dude's like freaking hair is just like, and then like. Yeah.
And then you kill the dragon, like, after you figure out how to do it. And then he jumps up and he just fucking murders his own fucking dragon, then turns to you and is like, oh, it's fucking on. And oh, I love the Nameless King. Like, he had some problems, but that was a fucking awesome fight. Like,
yeah.
Number one in the whole series was spectacle. Spectacle out of 10. Fucking awesome.
And in terms of spectacle, the lead up, like the first boss, the Ancient Wyvern, yeah, is also like just like that whole
already really good.
So good. Alright. So now we'll go to the killing of the first flame.
And
that was a pretty meaty, like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't an amazing boss fight, but it wasn't bad in the good way, in that I killed him on the second try, as I call it, mm-hmm, because it actually technically was the third try, but the first try I spent the entire, all of my health bots trying to parry. Because, like, maybe I'm just doing it wrong. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. It, like, why am I not able to parry this guy?
Can you parry him?
No, you can't.
Oh, really? Okay.
But
I thought you'd be...
I thought you could, too. Like, that's the whole thing with the first, like, with Dark Souls 1.
Yeah, with Gwyn.
Gwyn is the only boss you can parry. And it's the thing of just, like, mm-hmm, the idea of becoming a Lord of Cinder is you have weakened yourself so much in service of the flame, like, for all the story reasons. It's this joke fight. And, mm-hmm, like, the music does that in a way. This was just, like, I guess they wanted to, like, be, like, every player kind of thing is the Lord of Cinder now. Yeah. I thought it was neat, but it was just wasn't a great fight.
I actually really liked the fight. So, my impression of killing the first frame was like, first thing, I really liked the cutscene where you finally use all the boss souls and goes into the fire and goes into you and you get told.
I thought that was cool.
I'm
bummed it wasn't an actual kill, because in Dark Souls 1, it was an actual kill.
And number two, it's a, like, it looks like an oven. It's an actual kill.
Yes.
I loved how you can keep transmuting after that dude's dead. Thank you. 100% triple ticks against your name. You get a golden star. Thank you, Dark Souls. This is a reason why Dark Souls 3 is so good.
Also, you repair your weapons every time you rest at a bonfire.
Yeah. Thank you. You learned that from 2, and it's great. So that was cool. The black Firelink Shrine was cool. And when you go outside, that vista is, I think, so cool. Like, it's comparable to Irithyll of the Boreal Valley. It's just like, the world is fucked. Like, everything is fucked. Everything's about to go fucking, like, sideways. It's literally going sideways in some cases. You need to get shit done right now. So my only problem with the Cinder fight, he said it's not long enough. It's too easy and it's not long enough. That's my problem with it. Because I actually really love how it's the only fight in the game that made me have to play 3 different ways during the fight. Like, a lot of fights made me play 2 ways, especially with Nameless King. But, like, because the first half of the second phase of Nameless King, you can be up and close and personal. But once he charges up his sword, you want to stay the fuck away from him. So it made me play 2 ways. But for Cinder, when he's with a fucking curved sword, I'm like, I'm backing the fuck off. When he's with a magic mirror, I need to rush you the fuck down. When he's playing with the sword, I'm like up close and personal and like doing the normal Lothric Knight kind of fire fighting stuff. Also, he juggles you. That's really cool. Like, he's not the only boss that juggles you, because my bro, Champion Gundyr, if he lands that roundhouse kick on you, he then slams you with his fucking thing. That's cool. But this guy, if he hits you with his combo, he like knocks in the air and like keeps fucking hitting you while in the air. Anime mode. That was cool. I really like how he used multiple fights to fight himself. And in the end, he was like, it's like Dark Souls. It's like the first Dark Souls, you are specializing. That's kind of what it always was. You specialize by the end of your first playthrough of the first Dark Souls. But Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3, especially Dark Souls 3, kind of gets to the point where it kind of encourages you to diversify. Because especially with things like how good some of the sharp and heavy infusions are, you are actually encouraged to go, say, 40 strength, 30 faith, and use lightning infusion. That's probably a good way to finish that game. and he gives you some healing, he gives you some range and a bunch of other stuff. Like, his final form, he's essentially a multi-classed fighter. He's like, he has some range, he has lightning spears, he has like lightning strikes, he's got a fire sword, and like, he feels like, he does feel like the player. He feels like the player and his journey through those games. Again, my only problem is once you figure it out, it took me 3 times as well. It was just like, yeah, this is just too easy. You just stay away from a well. When you get close, you just whack away. When you charge yourself up, you just whack away. It's weird since like Nameless King was just there. Like, you just had to do something that anime, but good, and only one person instead of him and a dragon. And that would have been perfect, but music was good at least. That was cool.
All right. When you put it like that, I guess you're right. It's an okay fight. It still could have been better.
Yeah, he could have been harder and more health, I think. Yeah. Longer fight. He should have done less damage, been harder to hit, and had more health.
So yeah, that does it for all the locations. This actually ran a lot longer than I thought it would. Then let's end it with story. Either like, what do you think of the overall story, as well as any NPC stories that you kind of dug?
So, because I played the game solo, and I didn't want to summon for any of the fights, I essentially lost out on every single NPC story. And that's kind of rough. So I saw like bits and pieces. I saw this starting couple steps. Like, Siegfried is a total bro. Or Onion Knight, I forget what his name is.
This one is Siegfried, I think.
Yeah, and I like the first time you meet him and he's a total bro, and then you fight the demon with him and he's a total bro, and I heard that you apparently can fight with him with Yorn. That's awesome. Like, that stuff sounds cool. I love the darkness stuff in this game. I didn't do it because I'm not an asshole and I'm not evil, and Anri's seems kind of cool. But the whole Dark Covenant stuff, like, I still don't know if I had the right ending. Like, I just linked the fire. Like, I'm just like, you know what? First Dark Souls, I'll link the fire. Second Dark Souls, I'll link the fire. Third Dark Souls, I'm going to fucking link the fire. That's what these games are fucking about.
Yep. Keep the circle going.
Keep the circle going.
What's the right
ending? I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on... You saw way more of the storyline than I did.
I saw a lot more of the storyline. It bummed me at times, like... basically not doing stuff. It's the only way to make like one of the characters I like the most, the rogue guy that you would send out to get stuff and you'd come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want to send him out until a certain point later on, like with the second time you send him out. Like, if you send him out too early, that's when he dies.
Yes, he died for me. Yeah.
And so that was a that's one of the bummer. Like, just from a design standpoint, like, mm-hmm. the player feels bad for doing something that, like, why would I not want to do that?
Yeah, because he was fine the first time.
Yeah, not even that. It's like, no, you do want to, like, you do want to say yes to him, but not right now. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, that's a sneaky thing to do to the player, but there's nothing, there's no good that comes out of it, I feel.
I think the sneaky thing you do to the player is the whole Dark Covenant stuff, like the whole "I will unleash the inner power within you," and then it hollows you. That's so good. From Software. I was like, I love everything you did there.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's good. That's clever. That's great. for overall story, like, I think this was like a neat little From Software story that with all the previous games, but it's not quite Dark Souls 1. And what I like about this is going to get a little bit weird, but. What I like about Dark Souls 1, why that game is so good, is because the meta narrative is that, and like everyone knows now, everyone knows about the invaders and like the, like, choosing to like turn the fire off and all the crazy stuff with the other lizard or the other snake guy. Mm-hmm. But at face value, it is a game that is trying to deceive the player. And there's the whole other sub narrative of the stuff that's happening with, like, if you do decide to take out Four Kings first and you find this other thing of like the whole darkness stuff. And for this game, that felt like face value and like almost the thing that like, oh, hey, check this out. Like, it's the creepy guy that is just too far out of the alley that has the trench coat that's trying to sell you on the stuff. Like, hey, check this out. And so you don't have to dig for any of that. It's out there already. And like, that didn't even seem like a thing. It's not even looking up on a wiki. Like, that's the first, the first NPC you meet is the guy who's going to start you down that dark path.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bummer.
So I, but my things are like, the actual story it tells is nowhere near as good as Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
And then the way it tells the story is far better because, the amount of text and flavor it puts into that story is more. So it doesn't tell it better because Dark Souls 1 tells it better. But the every item has an interesting description this time around. Not just a fucking throwaway random description, but like boss, the fact that you can get so much lore about each boss just by looking at his soul and then every item that drops from him and some of the enemies in the area, their items as well will tell you about the boss of that area. Like, there's so much like text around each boss. And then some bosses, like the two brothers, the Prince of Lothric, Prince Lothric or whatever, is just like, I wish everything was like this.
It tries to do a really good job of telling a story after the events of Dark Souls 1. And that is a tough, that's a tough act to follow. I understand that. Like they did a serviceable job that could have been better. And then like that gets into the other side of it. So like the couple of different NPC stories, what I liked about Dark Souls 1 was that like it's everyone loves Onion Knight. Everyone loves that Onion Knight's your bro. He's super cool.
Yeah.
Every time you help him out in Dark Souls 1, you are pushing him closer to becoming hollowed. And like the whole idea of hollow is like of the undead is you want to have a purpose in life. And like everything the player does becoming more and more badass, like both with helping out the Onion Knight and being a better pyromancer than the pyromancy, like the really cool positive character that is that guy, I can't remember his name, like they just feel pointless in their existence, and that's when they become hollow.
Right.
These guys, like the Henri was a decent story, but Sigmire, like they're cool stories, but they didn't seem like that they could just be human. Like there was no real undead side of that. The only undead side was the new ending, the pilgrim and the creepy lady and Rosaria's fingers. Like that was a weird thing. So I didn't necessarily like it, but I thought it was like a decent job, I guess is a weird thing to say.
I'm waiting for Vati video to tell me what the fuck is going on.
I'm waiting for the Vati video as well as I'm waiting for the expansion. Or not expansion, the DLC.
Yeah. Right. Because like things like the Dark Firekeeper's eyes. It's like here's an example of why I think it just doesn't do it well. So awesome. I found this freaky fucking item that looks freaky and says freaky shit and tells me that it's bad for people.
And then you couple that with the fact that the cleric lady that you rescue, she wants to become a firekeeper. She's not up to snuff. Yeah. But actually, if you
and
end up...
And she is blind.
She's blind. If you end up giving her... Like, if you buy all the good miracles and don't buy any of the bad ones, she becomes a firekeeper.
Right.
And, yeah, like, that,
that...
Yeah, that is... Like, all that is a neat thing. Like...
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
How those things tie in together. Like, yeah.
But, like, the eyes are, like, okay, so to get one of the I'm going to call them bad endings. I know that's a bad ending. To get one of the bad endings for this game, you give the Firekeeper eyes to your normal Firekeeper, and she then sees horrible, evil shit and decides to not want to link the fire. That's the whole deal, essentially. So, A, why would I give these horrible, evil eyes to my cool Firekeeper lady? Like, it says, oh, you will do, they will see horrible things and betrayal
like,
on that concept.
They see, like, the darkness of the future or something is basically what it says.
Yeah.
And it's like, it reveals, like, oh, no, this might, like, leaking the fire might not be a bad thing. Like,
bad thing to link the fire. The first, the second sin, or whatever.
So Game of Thrones, I'm going to do a little bit of tie-in just because it's a really good line. Season 4 or something, but like there's a scene where Arya, you can find on YouTube, is like talking with this farmer who's about to die. And just like, he's like, nothing could be worse than this. And she's like, nothing isn't good or bad. Nothing is just nothing. And this is like, it's just the whole concept of like, if you relink the fire, it's the good ending, I guess. Like people can come back, but also misery comes back. Like all the sadness. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just turn the fire off, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
And so I guess that, not to wane philosophical or anything, but like maybe, maybe turning the fire off, like unlinking the fire is the neutral ending of just like, let's just call it.
Mm.
Turn the lights off. Yeah. It was a good run.
Right.
Last one out.
Yeah. That's weird because, and so you, as a person who, if anybody wants the good ending, and I disagree with the philosophy of nothing, so like whatever.
Well, you're not a fan of entropy?
The moment you get those eyes. Yeah, it's weird, right? The moment you get them, everything she says to you is like, oh, I've heard the dude on the throne has some things to say about some item you have. And then you talk to the dude on the throne and he's like, oh, those firekeeper's eyes are evil and you shouldn't give it to the firekeeper. And that's essentially, and it just repeats. Like, every time you talk to her, it's like, oh, is there something I should know? You look like there's something I should know. Oh, you should talk to the dude on the throne. Like, I was like, yeah. Like, this is stuff that you wouldn't have done in Dark Souls 1. And I get that you're kind of pointing me in this direction, but the fact that there's an option there saying give the firekeeper the eyes, that's all the pointing I need. That's all the pointing I needed. And the description, which says evil shit, I would have already put two and two together. I know that weird shit will happen if I give her the eyes. But that's one of the many examples of this game. Like, it tries to be forthcoming, but it ends up just being like, it loses the subtlety and that, like, the more interesting side of storytelling that the previous games have.
Yeah.
But I had a cool, like, I like stuff like the brothers. Stuff like the brothers, the Lothric Knight, Lothric Prince and his brother is, like, some of my favorite storytelling in any of these games. Yeah, so.
I also really dug Sirius?
The King?
No, yes, the lady. What's her name?
Oh.
Cirrus of the Sunless Realms. Also, just like the idea of just like, she, like, it's very easy to miss her storyline, but she's the granddaughter of the Shrine Maiden, the lady who is the vendor. She is also the granddaughter of the, like, your intro to the Purple Covenant, who are the guys who are just like, hey, let's just be crazy, y'all. and then she works for the Darkmoon Blade. And so you help her out. Like, you assist her in invasions.
Nice. That's cool.
And so, like, the story around her is a neat, it's a neat story.
I spent the entire game on Embered. Every time I got Embered, I went back to Firelink Shrine and jumped off the really highest part so I could die. And then we went back to being unembered.
I spent a lot of time embered, like, not even with, like, just hoping to get in PvP stuff.
Right. But that's I've never liked the PvP stuff in those games. So.
That's kind of my jam, so I get it. No problem. But yeah, I think that's it. Any other points for Dark Souls?
I really like it. It's probably going to be in my top five. Thinking about what's coming out this year, I hope it's not. But thinking about what's coming out this year, it probably is going to be in the top five.
I think it'll be top 10. I don't know if it'll be top five. Like, it's not. I'm not saying like in a negative thing. I'm saying I don't know. I'm still mixed feeling about it. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it was a good game though. I'm fine with this being the last Dark Souls game. I'm also kind of suspect that Neo is going to take the reins with playing that. If it's good, that. I actually think that could be a better game than this one is. And that's crazy to me because essentially they're coming out of nowhere because it's been a long time since I've made a Ninja Gaiden. So.
Yeah, but like I'm kind of happy about when games come out of nowhere.
Yeah, so. Same. Like I wasn't expecting freaking Neo to be good. Who the fuck would have thought Neo would be good? They're not like a million years ago and no one seemed to care and I don't know why people care now, but it deserves it.
But yeah, I think that'll be it. Thanks for listening. I'm not sure, looking at the timestamp, I might end up making this a second follow-up, but like a post-episode. So thank you for listening to this, regardless of if this is tacked on or not. tell your friends, hope you have fun playing Dark Souls and all that. If you disagreed or agreed or wanted to just add to our discussion, message us at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter. Bye!
Bye!